Hello, this is Arna McEntee, and I'm delighted that you've written requesting our tape of the month. It's always a joy to hear from our many listeners around the world. We count it a pleasure and a privilege to bring you the Family Bible Hour each week. But then it's a special joy when we hear from you. So I want to give you a very warm thank you for writing to us. It is our prayer that as you listen to our messages and our program through the month of December 1990, that the Lord blessed you in a special way. As you think of the Family Bible Hour, I hope you'll pray for us. This is a faith ministry. We thank our God for the way in which He has met every need for almost 40 years. We've now entered our 40th year of broadcasting. To Him and His generous people, we give all the glory. We do need your prayers, and we would merely ask you to remember us as you listen again to this cassette. On this side of the cassette, which is number 280, I give two messages on the subject of three crosses. It's a wonderful thing to remember that on a cross outside Jerusalem centuries ago, our beloved Lord died for you and me. But there were some very important issues at stake that memorable day. For, as our theme suggests, three died. The Lord Jesus Christ, on one side, was a thief who went to heaven. Another went to hell. And so it is with all of mankind today. So I'm praying at this very moment that the Lord is going to bless you as you listen to these two messages on the theme, Three Crosses. Now, we'll look forward to hearing from you as the Lord enables and leads. Our address is Box 494, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, L2R6V9. Now may the Lord bless you and take you by faith to Calvary. Many nations have a tomb of memorial to the unknown soldier. It is a tribute to and remembrance of the unnamed and unclaimed dead of battle. Somewhere near Jerusalem, there is a tomb or a burial plot to an unknown thief and murderer. He was one of the men who died at the side of Christ that awful day at Calvary. Although unknown and unnamed, his words are recorded on the eternal page in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23 and 39, where we read, "One of the malefactors blasphemed him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Although the man's name is unknown, Scripture records the act for which he died and the fact he did. Three died that memorable day at Calvary: the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. On either side of him, there was a thief. One thief died repentant and went to paradise. The other died unrepentant and went to hell. What a sight! Pause for a moment, my friend, and let the true significance of this awful sight grip your soul. Here we see men representing men and women of every age, and between them the Savior of the world. You and I are represented by one of these two malefactors, at least in three ways. First, both were dying as a result of sin. Romans 5:12 put it this way: "As by one man's sin, death entered into the world, and death by sin. For death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Friend, I repeat, we, you and me, are represented by these men, for we too have sinned. Listen to these words from the same Roman epistle, chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, these men were obviously condemned. The charges have been laid, the cases heard, the sentences passed, and now with their bodies pinned to a cross, it is obvious the sentence is being carried out. My dear listening friend, if you have never accepted in simple faith Christ as your Savior, you are charged, condemned, and merely awaiting the execution of the sentence. Listen to the words that had come from the one on the central cross. They are recorded in the inspired text of John 3 and verse 18, where we read, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you have believed, you are represented by the repentant thief. You are no longer condemned. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are represented by the unrepentant thief, and the God of the universe says of you, "Condemned already." Oh, friend, wake up. The sentence has been passed. I plead with you to turn to Christ before it's carried out, and you are sentenced eternally to the lake of fire by the very same one who died on the middle cross for you. To the unrepentant, he will say, as recorded in Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me." From his presence, the Christ rejecter will go to be eternally separated from the God of love and justice. Thirdly, both of these men had an equal opportunity to repent and turn to Christ. Both were within the saving reach of God's dear Son. They could see the suffering and sinless sin-bearer. They were on the brink of eternity and at the door of heaven. One would acknowledge his sinnership, saying he was receiving his just rewards. The other would blaspheme his only hope of heaven. Oh, how solemn! Pause then, my dear friend and fellow traveler to eternity. Pause by faith at Calvary and ask yourself, as I ask myself, which thief is your representative, the one who accepted or the one who rejected the Savior? My Savior said in Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall perish." Oh, how personal. Oh, how final. Except ye repent, ye shall perish. The Apostle Paul stated in a similar fashion in Acts 17:30, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." If you expect to be in God's heaven, my friend, you must repent. To do so means more than to be sorry for sins. It means to confess them and in utter abhorrence turn directly from them to the Savior. For a moment or two, let's consider together the unrepentant thief. If he is your representative, then learn a lesson before it is eternally too late. This man heard the voice of Christ in forgiveness. He heard him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As the Savior was prepared to forgive his executioners, he was also prepared to forgive a blaspheming murderer at his side. Thank God, he still forgives. Did he not say in Luke 5, verse 24, the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. No, not preacher, priest, or pope, but the Lord Jesus Christ only has power to forgive sins. Do you wish to know yours forgiven today? Do you? Then listen to these lovely words of Ephesians 1:7. In His dear Son, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Drink in the truth. Drink in the Word of God of 1 John 2:12, where the Word of God says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. This is the heart of the gospel, my friend. God is prepared to forgive you for the sake of the Son of God who died for your sins at Calvary. The work of eternal redemption, the work of eternal forgiveness, was completed when the Savior triumphantly said, It is finished. Forgiveness is now available to anyone who will say from the heart, Lord Jesus, I believe when you died for sinners, you died for me. You died in my place. I will accept your forgiveness right now. In John 3:37, the Savior said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come by faith this moment and experience His forgiveness. Finally, this man blasphemed his only hope of heaven. That thought sends a chill up my spine. Let me repeat it. This man blasphemed his only hope of heaven. How tragic. Is it any more tragic in the final analysis than the man who puts off or rejects Christ until he feels it is convenient and in his interest to trust the Lord? It is not. Ultimately, both have rejected Christ and will go to a Christless eternity. You may die a blasphemer. You may die having intended to trust Christ. In either position, the 9th of Hebrews in the 27th verse clearly states, after death, the judgment. The same fate awaits both Christ rejecters. Through this meditation, I pray that you have heard the forgiving voice of Christ. I pray, my friend, that you will reject Him no longer, but say quietly and prayerfully, Lord, I believe with all of my heart that I'm a sinner. I believe, too, that you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sin in repentance and accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Friend, the Savior's invitation of Matthew 11:28 is still extended, and it's extended to you. Listen as Jesus says, Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come today, my friend. Come for rest and forgiveness in time and for eternity. The poet asked, Have you any room for Jesus? Has He spoken to your heart? Have you answered to His pleading? Let me all my grace impart. He will heal the sin-sick sinner. He will answer every plea. Trust in Him, for He will save you. From sin's grasp, He'll set you free. Let's pray He will this very moment. Father, please, 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 honor thyself, thy Son, and thy Word, as dear listening friends turn believing to the Lord Jesus, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Isn't it amazing how two people can come through the same set of circumstances with totally different results? This fact is brought into bold relief in our study today. We'll consider two men who were involved together in life. They thought and acted alike. They had the same desires and intentions. They met the same fate. They had the same opportunity of accepting Christ. They died within minutes of each other. One on one side of Christ, the other on the other. These were the men of whom we read in Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors who was hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." The other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? But we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." In considering these two men, we noted last week they represent you and me in at least three ways. They both died as a result of sin. So will you and I. They were both condemned as a result of that sin. So are you and I. They both had an equal opportunity to repent and to know forgiveness. So do you and I. Turning from last week's meditation on the unrepentant, blaspheming, hell-destined thief, let us consider the one commonly referred to as the penitent or repentant thief. He was the one who realized things about himself, appreciated things about the Savior, and who, before the sun had set below the western horizon, was with the Savior in paradise. What was it that made these two men so alike in life and yet so unlike in death? First, one realized and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as God. In rebuking his partner in crime, he said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Beck's translation renders the verse this way: "Aren't you afraid of God?" he asked him. "You are as condemned as he is." Friend, a recognition and an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord and God are basic to eternal salvation. Paul stated in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This man realized, and you and I must realize, that only God is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who can save your soul. There is no place here for the deluded, deceiving, ecclesiastical personality. It was Paul, again, in writing to Timothy, who said in 1 Timothy 2:5, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Have you, dear listening friend, come to the point in your life where you have faced the all-important issue: Jesus Christ was, is, ever shall be God of very God? He is God in his omniscience, his all-knowingness, in his omnipresence, for he is everywhere, in his omnipotence, for he is all-powerful. As well, he is infinitely holy, inflexibly just, and, praise God, unlimited and everlasting in his love. Friend, this God, the only God, wants to be your Savior. Will you acknowledge He is God as the first step to enjoying His salvation? Secondly, this man, who was soon to leave earth for heaven, realized something about himself. He knew he was receiving the results of his deeds. He had killed, therefore he was dying. God's word was, and still is, unalterable. For in Genesis 9:6 we read, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Man in the 20th century may have removed capital punishment from the books of law, but it is still in the law of God and recorded in the book of the ages. I repeat, God is just, holy, and all-knowing. Because of his holiness, he must punish sin. You and I are sinners. Oh, we might shrink from the thought, but that does not alter it in the sight of a holy God. It is said of him in Habakkuk 1:13, "He is of purer eyes than to behold evil." He cannot look upon sins. Romans 3:23. Why, it is there the chilling, all-inclusive statement is made. All, say, that's you and me, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, dear listener, I repeat, that includes you and me. For your soul's sake, believe it and accept the Savior. A moment ago, I said God was loving, and praise his holy name he is. How loving, you ask? Oh, turn your eyes with those of the penitent thief to the sacred dying victim on the middle cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. As you do, hear the words of Holy Scripture from Psalm 8, verse 3. "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Let me, my friend, draw your attention to just a few words in that verse to make my point of God's love for you. We read, God sending his own Son as an offering for sin. Certainly not for his sins, for he was sinless. He was the sacrifice sent for yours and mine. Now, that God's love is fully displayed by the sacrifice of his own Son on the cross for you, God's justice is satisfied, his love displayed, the claims of love forever met. Oh, dear listener, don't you see, Christ has paid fully for every sin you and I have and will ever commit. Now then, the thrilling plan of God's salvation for you continues to unfold. You and I are sinners. Christ died for those sins. And now, the words of God are sounded with clarion clearness from the lips of the great Apostle Paul in Romans 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This glorious fact leads us to another verse in the 10th chapter and the 13th verse of the same epistle, which extends the exciting invitation of this glorious gospel. "For whosoever," say, that means you, dear listener, "shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, don't you see? Like the man hanging on the Savior's side, you are a sinner. But the Savior died for you. If you, like him, will only call on him by faith, you will be saved. you will have everlasting life. You will have started on the way to heaven. From personal experience, I can tell you this is a decision you will never regret. Will you accept the invitation of the Savior now? I pray you will. I thought, as we began our meditation today, that we'd consider other interesting and profitable things about this unique man, the repentant thief. However, these must wait now for a future program. But just now, will you say with another, because of Calvary, oh, because of Calvary, may this thought shape my life beyond today, that he who died eternal life to give is now to me the truth, the life, the way. Because of Calvary, O Lord, no longer I delay. Because of all thy love has done for me, today I yield my life, my love, my all, thine evermore, because of Calvary. Friend, come to Calvary and pray with me by faith right now that as you confess your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive you and make you his very own. He will. Let's ask him. Loving Father, for that sincere, concerned individual, we pray this moment. May they come acknowledging sin, their sin, and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone. This we pray for thy glory and their blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen.